All right, Never Nation, we have got big news.
Big.
Very big. We've got merch.
Merch alert.
Yep. That's the only noise that we're going to make now.
Yeah. Merch alert.
So if you want to profess your love on a very public scale for Never Thought I'd Say This, now you can have t-shirts, mugs, tote bags, and my favorite
is too.
The hoodies.
Hoodies.
They're so soft. Yep. We've got a black one that has hashtag trauma bonded on it. We've got a white one with the Never Thought I'd Say This logo. You can sit in your hoodie, drink your coffee out of a mug with a t-shirt underneath, with your tote bag over your arm, and
listen to our podcast.
Listen to, yes, just at home or in your car.
Doesn't
whatever.
Matter.
Nope, doesn't matter. But yeah, go to unsweetened.com. That's unsweetened.com. And that's where you'll find the Never Thought I'd Say This merch. And you too can become a walking billboard for the Never Nation.
And send us some pictures of you in the merch. And we would love to see them. So, you know, just be... Keep rocking it with the Never Nation stuff and wear the merch. Merch alert!
Welcome to another episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. That was better.
That was much better.
See, I got into that nice and smooth.
I liked it.
Thanks. We are your hosts, Jody Sweeten.
What? We're we now. And I'm Celia Behar. Usually you're like I'm, but now we're just a we.
Well, I mean, the royal we. The capital W for sure.
Royal pain in the ass. Got it.
That as well.
Okay.
Did
I even say who
stats?
I am? Whatever. If you don't know anymore, who cares?
That's Celia. I'm Jody. She's got a couple kids. I've got a couple kids. I also just
had my animatronics
just shorted out, apparently.
You already shorted Emily's battery out.
I did. So we started to do this about 30 seconds ago. And I spoke into the microphone and her battery went from 100% to 30. And I said, I literally sucked all the energy out of the room. And it was also a very shitty intro. So I feel like that had something to do with it.
I don't know. We've said that right here in general, where we're recording today, is sort of haunted. Remember when Marriage...
At the kitchen table?
Yes. But remember when Marriage Martinis was here and all of a sudden Alexa went off for no reason?
The ghost. Oh, it's my ghost.
It's the ghost.
Well, he'll be joining us sometime next season.
Yeah. Well, this
to talk
season,
about what shitty parents we are.
Like,
and the things
I see
that,
it all,
the things
man.
He's witnessed.
You have no idea.
Yes.
Well, whatever.
Why does he have a southern accent?
I don't know.
Do all ghosts have southern accents?
Yes.
Wow.
In my life, apparently.
Okay, great.
I don't know why.
Good. I don't know. I don't either, but I like it. I'm going with it.
Good. Okay, cool. We actually do have a guest.
We do. We do have a guest. Sir Guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, hello.
Hi.
I am Jeff Serber.
Yes.
I am a guest.
You are.
This is Celia and I's very good friend and security expert, Jeff Serber, who is here today to have a somewhat serious conversation, which we struggle with, but to talk about, you know, internet safety, safety in general, Tinder safety, kid safety,
there's
safety
no such
goggles.
Thing as
I don't know.
Lots
safety
of goggles.
All kinds of the
safety
dance. I don't know. A lot of safety that's
going to
be
in my head all day now. God damn it.
You're welcome.
Well, first off, we have a Never Thought I'd Say This. And mine is, which I didn't even tell Jeff yet, Harper is going to get Instagram.
No.
Which I had sworn she would not do and is part of the reason that you're here.
Yeah.
Because I need to hear all the horror stories about Instagram, how to protect her on Instagram, and in general, like for everyone to know. Because I obviously know a lot more because I work with you and I'm friends with you.
Sure, yeah.
And it's also something that I think, like, you know, moms of kids are kids' ages, you know, that like 11, 12, 13, middle school, it's starting the, you know, social media, TikTok, Instagram.
Yeah.
Nobody does Facebook anymore because that's
now
just
for
old people like us. But, you know, it's definitely starting to come up. And there's that thing of like, well, they do stay connected with their friends and they make fun videos and they do all this stuff. But there's, you know, obviously, as we all know, a very sort of scary side to that.
You know, social media is, it's not something necessarily that we should be afraid of.
Okay.
It can be a very useful tool, even for younger people. I mean, it's a great way to keep in touch with friends. It's a great way to keep in touch with even current events. And, you know,
it's a great way to piss off your neighbors with
great
your political
way to piss
views.
Off your neighbors. Yeah. We've kind of moved the Thanksgiving politics discussion just into a year-round
shit show
all over social media. But it's important to know how to use it, you know, in a way that just keeps you safe now. I mean, social media started off with the best intentions and connecting people, and it very quickly devolved into what we're best at doing, which is turning something wholesome into something awful and horrific.
Something totally fucked up.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, do things like tagging locations and geotags and stuff right. like that.
That's always the thing you want to make yeah. sure is turned off, because, and I remember you telling me this once, how easy it is. And I remember reading an article about it, how easy it is when you, you know, tag your location or whatever, one, for people to know where you are, but even the geolocation stuff, it's like they can.
Wait, yeah, and explain what geolocation is versus tagging yourself someplace for people out there.
So tagging, there's two services that most social media providers offer to the user. And people have probably seen it and clicked on it and not really sure what they just did. One of them is, you know, obviously anybody can tag a location.
Right.
So, you know, you go to a restaurant, it says you get whatever discount, or you just right. want to tell everybody you're at this restaurant. When you tag the restaurant, all it does is it syncs up usually with Google, and it just pulls up their address on Google and posts it underneath where you've tagged.
Right.
A geotag is your phone's location. So it's not even so much where you've tagged, but it actually pinpoints where
you
physically
are.
You are.
So when you're in your settings is where we're talking about now, right? Like in your settings, you have to have location off.
Yeah, a lot of times you can find this. The best way to get rid of it, yeah, is to turn your location services off for social media apps like Instagram, Facebook. And that way it would be impossible for those apps to use your actual physical location. The problem is a lot of times it won't let you then tag locations sometimes.
Right.
If your location services are off.
Got it.
But more often than not, it'll still let you tag, you know, whatever, right. whatever place you want. But the most important thing is timing. So it's not that you shouldn't be able to tag where you are or where you've been. Well, actually, that's exactly it. I mean, I tell people to tag where they've been, not where they are.
Yeah,
There's a bunch of open source resources for people who, for example, let's say there's someone who has really bad intentions, is hanging around a mall.
Right.
That person can actually go on Instagram and filter all the tags and all of anybody who's tagged the mall ever, and he can actually sort it on Instagram. This isn't without any special apps, to how recently they were posted.
Holy crap.
So he can actually sit in the courtyard at a mall and see everybody who's tagged the mall the most recently, sometimes within seconds. And he can, I mean, do whatever it is he wants to do with that information.
I'm moving away. Wait one second. What if they're, so like Harper, we told her the rules were, if she gets Insta, that we both have the passwords to it and that we can see all of her DMs and that must be private. If your setting is private, but you tag yourself in a picture, would it matter? Can they still see?
So a lot of it has to do with hashtags and what they're tagging. So one of the things I'm actually going to show you, I know that people out
right.
there can't.
That's all right. Well, I'll
it.
Describe it in great detail and because I'm so Jody good at describing.
Yeah. So we're all familiar with this page, right? All mm-hmm. I've done on Instagram right. is I've searched for.
It's hashtag Topanga Mall.
Right. Hashtag Topanga Mall. If I go to recent, this is showing me how recently anybody's ever tagged the Topanga Mall. This is all on the Instagram app. And, you know, this was 16 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
So
there's a picture of a girl. Yeah.
Very pretty. Who's very pretty. Who is at the mall. And she put 15 minutes ago that she's at the Westfield right. Topanga Mall.
Oh my God, I'm
so
terrified.
I mean, that's the thing is that, like, I think people don't realize is that you're like, if when you use the hashtags and all that kind of stuff, like, it's really easy to figure right. out where you are. And, you know, as somebody who has dealt with stalking and people following and all that kind of crazy stuff, like, you learn to become very aware of that because it, you know, like you said, it's not something I guess that like people know. And kids are dumb, as we all know.
Yep.
Kids are dumb. I mean, you know, another part of what we kind of consult for and do for a living is, you know, on a very professional level and, you know, we've been hired before to follow people or keep track of certain people. And, the best tool we use for that is social media. It's actually so common and so frequent that there's an acronym widely used in the intelligence community called SOCMINT, which is social media intelligence.
Wow.
It's the most reliable source oftentimes of finding me, not just where you are, but information about you in general and who your friends right. are and what your interests are and what you're interested in. And then what frequently happens, even if an account, for example, is set to private, someone who's interested in you or interested in your kids and, you know, can pretty easily find out what they're interested in, because even if their account's private, a lot of times their posts aren't, especially if they've used hashtags.
Or their friends.
Or their friends
have. Right.
We have another saying that if you don't give yourself up, your friends always will.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth, though? Yeah.
What are you
saying? You know,
snitching motherfucker. No.
And we've all worked together in various ways stuff. And we, you know, I think in a lot of instances, I've actually shown you how that's happened.
Right. You sure have.
And, yeah.
And we can always rely on people's friends to.
Right.
Give me what I want.
You right.
know, if I
well, and I mean that the thing is too is like no matter how safe you want to be with your own kids, the world like even if your kids don't have social media, they you know and I have posted pictures of my kids and stuff on my social media because those pictures are already out there, and mm-hmm. so I you know I figure I will be in control of them and but you know it is I mean it is weird. To know that people know what your kids look like. And that's just sort of, that's like I feel like a new advent where people are like, you know, they haven't seen you in 15 years and they're like, oh my God, your kids look so great. Which is even strange to hear from people that you know when you're like, I haven't seen you in forever. Oh, but that's right. We're Facebook friends. So you've seen, you know, my baby's christening and their school, you know, whatever. But for people on a public level, I think they don't realize that that information is still pretty easy to find.
Yeah. It's almost really winter here,
right? Well, it gets, you know, down in the 50s here in Southern California.
Listen, for me, that's cold and I don't like to be cold. And but I don't like to be overheated either.
Oh, that's the worst.
Totally. You know what helps you with that? Buffy.
Really?
Yes. My Buffy comforter is the best thing. I love it.
Oh,
so much.
Oh, you've been talking about this a bunch.
It is so good. It is made from ultra smooth eucalyptus fiber.
Ooh.
That is softer than cotton.
Oh, I felt that stuff before. It's the best.
It is so nice. It's breathable. It's cool to the touch and it helps maintain the ideal sleeping temperature and you feel cozy without overheating.
Ew, nobody likes to sweat in their sleep.
Oh my God, not at all. It's become like a cult favorite comforter to like, and it's got pillows, then they've got sheets, they have everything. You can just turn your whole room into a calming comfort zone, which I am trying very hard to do.
I feel like moms definitely need that.
They really do. And also, it is not just soft, it is soft on the planet as well. Eucalyptus fiber isn't just as soft as cotton, it's more earth-friendly, and it's sourced from renewable forests, consumes 10 times less water to grow, and it's transformed into ultra smooth fiber through a waste-free production process, plus cruelty-free and hypoallergenic, which I love.
Oh, so good for the planet too.
Oh my God, it's just, you know, it's amazing. And that's probably why it's got 17,000 five-star reviews and an overall average rating of 4.5 stars. You have to believe the hype here. It's so good. Not to mention, you can try their products in your own bed for free before you commit to buying. And if you don't love it, you can return it at no cost.
Really?
Yes. It is so amazing. I mean, how could you even, you know, not do that? I am telling you, I love mine. It's helped me sleep better.
She really does talk about it nonstop.
I honestly do. And my kids are sick to death of hearing it. They also really want one. So if you want your own Buffy bedding, and you do, then all you have to do is go to buffy.co and enter the code Say This, and then you get $20 off of your Buffy bedding. Again, that is buffy.co with the code Say This, and you get $20 off of your Buffy bedding.
You too can be cozy like Celia.
And you should be.
One thing people really should be mindful of, you know, there was this trend. I remember, you know, we were younger, Facebook, like how many friends can you have? And, you know, everybody always wanted to
I feel like that's a younger gen. That's still a younger generation. Yeah. As I get older, I want less friends.
I just kick people off
less,
every day.
I want less people in my life because I mean, found the majority of them.
How many times have you guys gone through your social media and been like, it's time to delete hordes of people?
Right. Yeah.
I do.
Oh, thank God for the snooze button where you like can snooze people and you're like, I don't have to let you know that I don't want to see you, but I could not see you.
Unfollow, all that stuff.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank God.
Well, what's important, what I usually advise friends, family, and clients is... if you haven't seen someone or actively spoken to someone in, you know, a year or two,
right,
they should be removed from your social media because you're not just detached from them at that point. Uh-huh. You don't know anyone they know anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. That's, I mean, I've never thought about it. Well, I mean, you and I had this conversation the other day about, don't die on us, Jeff, please. Oh God, we need you.
Yeah, you just saved Saturday night, which we'll talk about soon. So,
but you know, you and I were talking about it on Facebook where it was like people that you know or on your friends list commenting on my pictures.
Yep.
And I was like, wait, what? What?
Right.
And I don't know what my... I thought I have all my settings to like nobody, which I'm pretty sure I do. But if your friend doesn't, then...
Yep.
They can see your, you know what
and
I mean?
And that's the same if you tag someone else in a photo.
Right.
You know, let's say you and Celia are in a photo and you have the best privacy settings in the world and Celia doesn't. Your privacy settings really don't matter at all.
It's you.
It is me.
Celia's the mole.
God damn it.
Celia's the mole.
She's the mole.
Yeah. God damn it. I knew it.
Always this time. Me. You know what it is?
That's actually why I'm here. Celia, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
God. Oh, right. It's like that TV show. You're the mole. Yeah.
Right.
You're the-
I'm such a good, I didn't even know I was the mole.
I'm so good at this. I didn't even know it was me.
No idea.
Woo. But Jeff knew. That's what's important.
Well, that's why I'm here.
This has been such a learning curve for me in general that I have, that the podcast is what it is now that, you know,
We finally have more than seven listeners
that you and I are together all the time and that Harper became a teenager all at once because fans are finding her on TikTok and requesting to follow. And unless they're ones that I've already like, you know, built up a little bit of a relationship with, I'm like, absolutely not. Like that's it.
Even then, I mean, I always err on the side of caution when we're talking about kids, especially. Yeah. I mean, I got two daughters.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing just kind of freaks me out. There's no reason, unless it's a family member, there's no reason why an adult needs to have a social media relationship with a child.
Right. Oh, these fans are actually kids that want to follow her.
So kids are fine, but what always ends up happening in these scenarios, and you know, as much as I hate to say that this will probably happen, as you know, because this has been blowing up, the friend requests are going to get a lot older and a lot weirder.
Yeah.
And there's really no circumstance where that's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to follow kids on
me neither.
I mean, I think my friends' kids, I do, you know, but
only
like
to be polite though. I don't
I do it to be polite if they ask me. No, my friend request inbox is on like on Facebook and stuff. It's full. I'm like no new friends.
Yeah. It's what we tell kids, you know, as far as like stranger danger. I mean, we always tell them, you know, an adult will never need your help.
I remember trying to explain that to B that one time. Adult will never need your help. She was like, but what if the puppy's gone?
No.
And I was like,
remember that
there's
van.
No puppy.
See, y'all, the issue van, is my kids will be fine. My wife is the one that'll run off trying to find the dog.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but that's a whole other story. But,
I will say this because you already helped with one fan. I think I sent it to you too. You know, there was a one little fan who was like listening, a girl, and she wrote me by accident. She actually was meant to DM her friend and said, what am I supposed to do with this? And I wrote back and said, I'm sorry, was that for me? And she wrote back, oh no, I'm really sorry, I'm just freaked out. And I said, what's going on? And she sent me this guy, this like 50-year-old man was sending her messages and I sent
them
to you.
You did.
And I said, hold on. And like, and then you were like, that's a fake account and whatever it is, like just block all the way around.
Well, and kids are so, I mean, and we've had this discussion before. Kids are so trusting of things on the internet. Like I can't tell you how many times, you know, the kids have run and been like, oh my God, I saw a video on, you know, whatever.
I can fly.
Right. Or, you know, like I saw the elf move and you're like, no, like, no, but I saw it on the internet. There was a video. It's true. And you're like, oh
God.
They are now a little bit more savvy about that stuff. But,
but surprisingly, not as much as you'd think.
Yeah.
No.
Not as much as you'd think.
No. No, I don't think they believe the elf flying videos anymore, but they wouldn't know. It wouldn't cross their mind that like someone would take come up with a fake account or something. And you and I were talking about a video I saw this morning, which was on Facebook. This woman had posted a video that this, sergeant, whatever police officer had called her and said that they found her daughter's information on this convicted pedophile's computer information, and that he had been pretending to be a girl her age and had her address, knew where she went to school, knew her friends, knew all the stuff, followed her on social media. And, you know, this mom was like freaking out. She was like, I've told my daughter to be careful of these things, but if she thinks she's friends with, you know, quote unquote friends with someone who is a 12-year-old girl online, right, sure, they give out all their information and this is where I'm going. I'm like, oh, you should totally meet us here. And the mom was like, how many times have I let my 13-year-old daughter go to the movies with her friends and didn't know that she had potentially given her whereabouts to some fake account online?
Oh my God.
And that's usually, I mean, if you go down the hierarchy of crimes against children, you know, in particular kidnappings and things like that, forgetting the statistic where they're almost always involved in the child's life in some way already, whether they're a family member or, you know, a family friend or something like that. Nowadays, these people are wildly relying on, again, you know, the child actually giving them their own information and where they're at. And nowadays people are handing it to them on silver platters.
Right. Yeah. Stranger danger was easier. It was like, don't
talk to the guy.
Don't talk to him. Don't do all this stuff. But now it's like, there's no strangers because everyone's friends, again.
Right. The other thing too, that is really becoming an issue here. And I've had some people who have disagreed for various reasons, but we've entered this era of politeness.
Right.
And, you know, everybody tells
fuck
you that
politeness.
Right.
Yeah, that's everybody just tells you that above all else, you have to be respectful and polite and all of those things. Mm-mm. And what's happening is it's not getting taught very well.
Right.
Because parents are teaching their kids this and teachers are teaching their students this, but they're not drawing the line or setting the boundary.
Right.
Kids just have this idea that, and even young adults, I've met people almost my age that still do this. They would rather be absolutely uncomfortable and possibly even in a dangerous situation, rather than risk being impolite and offending somebody.
Well, this is something that my favorite murder talks about. Fuck politeness. But
apologize
it's also,
later.
Right. It's also something that like I've tried to teach the girls is like, and it's as women and as girls, it gets even more so like, be polite, be nice. You don't want to. And also like if someone is threatening you, like, oh, well, just be nice and keep them happy.
Yeah.
But that, you know, sometimes you just have to turn around and be like, why the fuck are you so close to me? Like, why? You know what I mean? Like, because chances are if you act like that, they're going to be like, oh, this person isn't going to be as docile.
Forgetting that, I mean, even for me, and granted, I'm a bigger guy and, you know, but more importantly I tell this to women a lot and to children, it's okay to tell someone that like, that's close enough. You know, whatever it is you have to say to me, you can say to me from there. That's all right. You know, and I've stopped people in their tracks before, you know, whoever it is, somebody's trying to ask me for money at a gas station. And, you know, it might seem innocent enough, but it's midnight at a gas station.
Right.
And I'm the only one there.
So you're saying I shouldn't give them a ride home, Jeff?
Damn it. I'm just saying after the seventh one you gave a ride home.
Okay. Right.
Well, you told me to tell my kids because you know that I was, I'm still going through something with one of my neighbors.
Yeah.
And you said to me, tell them that, you know, if he's around and he tries to talk to them to say, don't speak to me.
Yes.
They could not get that out of their mouths for the long. They walk by and say hi. They would be like, you know, like stare like deer in headlights. Finally, the other day I had a talk with them again and I said, do you remember what Jeff told you? He said, say, do not speak to me. And Harper got it out of her mouth. Do not speak to me.
Yeah.
And walked away.
It's so hard for kids, especially younger kids that, you know, because.
Well, we teach them don't be offensive.
To an adult.
No matter what, it's, you know, always respect your elders and things like that. And kids,
some elders are assholes.
You know, sometimes they even just inherently see adults as this authority
figure, of course.
And for kids,
I don't know about ours. I don't know that ours inherently see adults as authority.
Mine haven't learned that yet.
Right.
So
yeah.
Mine are broken. But it's so important to draw that hard line with kids. You know, one of the biggest deterrents for somebody who's trying to do something bad to your kids are setting hard boundaries. They don't want a hard target.
Right.
They don't want someone you know, they don't want someone who's going to put up a fight right now or cause a scene or anything like that. They want someone that they can, I mean, for all intents and purposes, just grab and walk away with very quietly.
Right.
When you look someone in the eye, even as a child, and you say, please don't speak to me.
Yeah.
You know, or don't talk to me anymore. Or you make me feel uncomfortable. Please go away. That is such a powerful statement.
Yeah.
To really anybody, especially in public, because if other people hear your kids say that to someone, you better believe everybody's going to be interested in who's bothering this little girl or who's bothering this little boy enough to where they said, you scare me, please go away.
Right. Yeah. My kids say that to me though.
Yeah, me too.
My daughter says that to me every morning.
You're making me uncomfortable. Please go away.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that's too bad. Can I sit on you?
Right. I'm like, clean your room.
I asked my daughter the other morning. I was like, do I look good? I was dressed pretty nicely.
Never ask a child if you look good.
She said, yeah, it's just your face. And I said,
you told me that.
I said, what do you mean my face? And she goes, your face looks funny. So, of course, the only thing I couldn't change.
Right. Like, so you're saying don't wear this head out of the house.
Okay, thanks.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Right.
Well, wait, I have two things. Well, first of all, I was going to say that this yesterday.
Do you remember both of them?
Probably not. Just the one.
Okay.
I do know this. TikTok, I saw an article yesterday.
Oh, well, we've had our TikTok conversations.
Yes, which have been all kinds of, you know, insanity. But I will say this. I thought it was really cool that there's a video going around right now that on TikTok, a bunch of teen girls, I guess, have been playing the recordings of their boyfriends being abusive toward them, like leaving them shitty voicemail messages. And you know how it's a big thing on TikTok to like create like dances?
Right.
Creating dances to them and posting them.
I love that.
And and then girls are responding by doing it again. So they're outing their boyfriends and basically like also showing other girls they're not alone.
Right.
And you don't have to do that. And they're tagging the dudes in it that are being like nasty and abusive. And I was like, no,
that's great.
That is something I like about social media. Now, my other thing is, because Harper and I have this constant conversation, which, of course, you know, you're always my default where I'm like, do you need to talk to Jeff? Because I'll call him right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I get a lot of panicked, like 4 a.m. phone calls.
Yeah. I bet you do. For me. I know sometimes. Yeah. But like, you know.
That makes two of us, Jeff. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, what's your, why? Anyhow, whatever. I haven't had you get me out of a bad date yet. She's had to. And so has Harper. So
I think he just did.
I have too gotten you out of a bad
date.
That's story number two. Yes, we're going to get to that. That's story number two.
But Harper's big thing is this. And this is what I'm assuming that other parents out there get to this argument too, which is when I say to her, you know, I need the password and I need this and I don't want you on social media, why don't you trust me? And even though I'm like, it's not you I don't trust, it's everybody else, but I would know better. And don't you think I get it? And I would see. And
I remember saying that to my mom.
Me too. And yeah, I didn't.
I know. Mom, come I would on. Never. I'm not an idiot. Yes, you are.
I would never
you
smoke are. A cigarette yes, in are. My car and idiot. Light it on fire, which I totally did last night.
You lit a car on fire?
Oh, when I was in high school, full on lit my car on fire when I was smoking a cigarette and I dropped it. Well, it was right at.
I did that on the freeway once.
That's where I was. I just had gotten my car. Like it was a crappy car and I just gotten my license and I could not figure out how to drive and light the cigarette at the same time. And so I dropped the lighter, which at least was the push-in lighter, but I dropped the lit cigarette and I was on the freeway so I couldn't pull over and it's just smoke.
Yeah.
Called the emergency shoulder.
Dude, I didn't know what I was doing. I was 16. It was the first time I ever took the car out.
Yeah.
Like, I was an idiot.
Fair enough.
It was bad. And I just dumped all my Gatorade over it and was like, I don't know what happened, Mom, but I would not do that. Why don't you trust me?
So here's hoping. Yeah, right. So here's hoping that Harper doesn't light her car on fire.
That'd be great.
I mean, the conversation, what I tell parents, it's never an easy conversation. I mean, you're trying to reason with a 12-year-old.
Right.
Yep.
So
she's 13. Don't let her hear you call her 12.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. We're past that now.
Which is terrible because I think I knew that too.
Yeah, so. Whatever. It's fine.
Apologies, Harper. But it's a conversation that has to be had. And it is definitely one of those lines in the sand as a parent, knowing what we know about social media and especially knowing what I know about social media. It's not up for negotiation. It's one of the few times, and we say that we do this a lot, but we really don't. It's one of the few times that your kid, whether they understand it or not,
it's
our job to know that this is just how it needs to be.
Right.
At least until they reach whatever that magical age is where where they don't need it anymore. So 30? For me, I'm guessing 40.
Yeah, 30.
Wait, 40. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just had you do it. So I'm 46. Right. And
so,
I
okay,
off.
So let's tell that story. So, you know, that this is, I mean, I think that the moral of the next story is that you never outgrow the need for keeping yourself safe on social media, whether it be Instagram or Facebook or fucking TikTok or whatever, or Tinder or all that. Like it never stops because people now can lie.
And I can't believe this happened today.
Okay. So this, this happened literally.
We should take our break and then we'll come back.
Let's do that. Oh yeah. Come hear this juicy story. It's going to be good.
It will be. Hello, Never Nation. Celia here. Some of you have been asking me about what beauty products I use, and so I wanted to recommend to you Thrive Cosmetics. They are one of my all-time favorites. They have high-performance products that are made with high-performance, skin-loving ingredients, and their clinically proven formulas highlight your best features with long-lasting wear. No joke, once I put on my Thrive makeup, I don't have to touch it up for the rest of the day. And all Thrive products are free of parabens, sulfates, and other things that I cannot even begin to pronounce, let alone want to put on my face. I am currently obsessed with the Infinity Black Eyeliner. I use that almost every day for you. Those of you who've asked me about my eyeliner, that's what I use. And I love, love, love their Brilliant Eye Brightener. So versatile that sometimes I use it as an eyeshadow as well. And then a few times a week, I use their Overnight Sensation Brightening Sleep Mask, which has done wonders for my skin. It's so great. And when my older daughter wanted to start using mascara, I turned to Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara, which is sold every 7 seconds and has over 7,000 five-star reviews online. And I can tell why. This innovative tried-and-true mascara gives the look of lash extensions with a smudge-proof, flake-free formula that lasts all day long. And that is fantastic for a 13-year-old girl who should be paying attention in school and not worried about her makeup. On top of all of that, Thrive Cosmetics is 100% vegan and cruelty-free. They never test on animals, and they've got that little leaping bunny on there to prove it. Plus, they're PETA certified, and that means a ton. On top of that, my favorite thing about them is that they give back. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics helps women in need thrive by donating funds or products. Their causes include women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, and something that is very near and dear to my heart, women fighting cancer. If you would like to try Thrive Cosmetics, and you should, then you can start thriving and help women in need today by going to thrivecosmetics.com/say this and use the code say this for 15% off of your first purchase. That's Thrive, CAUSEMETICS.com/say this. Code say this for 15% off. Again, thrivecosmetics.com/say this. Code say this. You can start thriving with their makeup while also helping other women thrive.
And we're back. Dramatic pause. We are back with our guest, Jeff Serber, who is not only our friend, but also an amazing security expert and is here talking to us about how to keep your kids and yourselves
and your Celia
safe on the internet. And right before we started recording today's episode, we actually had we were like, this is so brilliant that this happened right now because we're going to talk about it on the podcast. So Celia, take it away with your amazing story.
Well, obviously, since Jeff and I became friends and now subsequently work together, whenever I've had a date or I've been like freaked out about something, I will find you and, you know, I've been stalked twice, not half as much as I'm sure you have been, but I've been stalked twice and it's taken Jeff all of, you know, I was like searching for at least one person for like a year and a half. You found her in 25 minutes. And then the first like really foray into where I was like, this is scary. Like online dating could be scary. Was that guy that when I was like, yeah, I don't want to go out with you, wrote me and said, and told me about my address, was like, how do you like living over on my address? And I was like, oh my God, you know, and like freaked out and sent it to you. And then you ran him and told me everything was fine. I think you drove by my house or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, people are fucking crazy, especially on Tinder. You know, it's terrifying what people will do when they get rejected or, you know, if they feel rejected.
I have to be honest. The pictures you send me are pretty fucking terrifying alone. That's not even people getting rejected. That's just their profile pictures.
It's my goal in life at this point to make a coffee table book where I like blur out like their faces and their names, but just put out like what people actually put on there.
I mean,
cause it's amazing.
You've sent me, you know,
I know I send you books of people, too.
But you couldn't make it up if you tried.
No, especially the ones today. Truth is stranger than fiction.
Right. And so then today, I've been talking to, two different dudes that I was like, oh, maybe I'll go on a date because I don't really go on dates. And so when I came over here on Saturday night, I was like, I'm going to go on two dates this week. I haven't been on a date in, I think the last one was when you had to call me and get me out of it when he started crying.
Oh, shit. So I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So, and that was like 6 months ago. So, I was like, all right, then Jeff comes over this morning. I'm like, all right, sweet. Why don't you run these two? First one comes back. Cool. Everything seems to check out. Right. Great. Awesome. I'll go on a date with him. Send the second one. And what did you find, Jeff?
Obviously I'm not going to say his name or any of his personal information, but I will say that this lovely person who is a catch, to say the least,
certainly got caught.
He has been caught. That's probably the better way. Is a twice convicted felon. The first charge is photography of an unsuspecting nude person and dissemination of said material. Also felony indecent assault and battery on a person between the ages of 14 and 18.
And I've got a teen daughter.
And
so
finally, he is a registered sex offender in the state of California. And that's his mugshot right there. And Celia did confirm that that is.
Yep. Yeah.
That is the right person.
So I'm definitely going out with him on Saturday.
Oh, right. He sounds like a keeper.
But, you know, but again, here's the thing, this is someone like you and I were talking about. You're like, oh, he's this and he's that.
He seems really nice.
Really cool and blah, 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 blah. And you're talking, I'm like, oh, yeah, sounds great. Yeah. Everything on paper.
Yep.
Well, not on Jeff's paper, but on the Tinder paper. Sounded great.
But here's the problem. And this is always.
But if people don't have a you, that's a problem.
Well, yeah, but people don't have the resources. You know, what the tools that I use, they're not necessarily special. I mean, there's tons of security companies and investigation companies that have access to all these tools. It's not like some magic toolbox, you know, that only I have. A lot of it has to do with experience in using these tools and knowing, you know, when and when not to. But not everybody in the general public has even anything close to this. People who try, you know, they're trying their best. They use Tinder, they use whatever these other dating apps are, and they try to run people through like open source services, like the public search engines.
Right. You pay like $20 and they'll tell $20 you $20.
And there's websites like Truth Finder and stuff like that, you know, for what they are, they're great. I mean, it's better than nothing. They're fantastic tools that civilians can use and should use, really, at least as a minimum for trying to vet people.
Right.
But it only tells you so much. I mean, those public tools are only so good.
Public tools are usually the worst kind of tools.
Yeah.
You're the worst kind of tool.
Well.
And then ultimately what ends up happening is you'll look somebody up on, you know, one of these open source sites and it won't populate that type of information. Not because it's not available or it doesn't exist, but because that website or that service doesn't have the ability to search those areas and make that information public. When you get into more professional tools like someone like I have, or, you know, access to where you need to actually apply and get approved and possibly even have permits to run certain programs, the information that becomes available is second to none. It's unbelievable. And it's immediate. is the other thing. I mean,
yeah,
we searched for this guy on my cell phone over your kitchen counter.
Yeah.
And
found in 30 him. Seconds, it was like, oh, yep. Yeah. And sex offender. That's not happening. Yeah.
So it's really important, you know, especially on Tinder. Do you have advice for
because we're not the only single moms, I'm sure. I mean, you're in a relationship. I'm not. Like, do you have advice for, or dads for that matter, parents that are dating online, like how they can be safe about that? Because that's what I was
going to say. Don't
meet
anyone off the internet.
Just die alone and sad.
I'm about to. It's fine. I'm there.
Yeah.
So Emily's nodding. Emily and I are going to die together. Right. I'm going to get her a cat. It's going to be great.
Right. Jeff's expert security advice is die alone. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Get more cats, Celia.
All the cats.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. I know. I'm on it.
The best piece of advice is don't be afraid of Tinder and of things like that. I mean, I know that
again,
it's,
have you seen the pictures?
Yeah. Be a little afraid.
That's, yeah.
Come on now.
I've seen the mugshots.
That is terrifying.
Didn't I send you the one of the guy that braided his hair into his beard and then his beard back into his hair?
First of all, I am looking for that barber. If that's you and you're listening, please.
First of all, you have no hair on top to braid
into.
Yeah, but
I'd like to do the beard into the chest hair.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be there you go. Yeah,
that's what I'm looking for.
All right.
I've had hair once. I did.
It's just migrated south.
It's all over my face now.
Right.
One thing I suggest is there's the common sense safety. Mm-hmm. Of just dating in general, not just online dating, but dating in general. Start somewhere very public.
Right.
Start somewhere very public that's not too far from your home. Tell someone that you're going.
Don't let them fall asleep, Karen Rothstein, wherever you are when you're listening to this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what would have happened if you would have you would have been in the trunk, tied up somewhere, and Karen would have been just sleeping away?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, Karen.
Tell someone where you are, but also, most importantly, know your options. Know your options once you're on this date of different things you can do. The first option, if your date's going poorly or you're uncomfortable or whatever the reason is, you want out. I mean, you don't need a reason.
Right.
If you want to go home or you want out, the best thing you can do, first of all, is communicate that with the restaurant staff or the bartender.
Yeah.
Or, you know, somebody, you know, excuse yourself and go to the bathroom. And believe me, first of all, they will love it. It'll be entertaining for them. Tell them you need help getting out of your date, that you feel uncomfortable, whatever it is. And this does two things. The first thing that it does is it puts the blame on someone else. You know, they can tell you there's a phone call for you, or they, you know, whatever it is, they can create a situation for you that allows you to get out. Or sometimes they can even just take you out the back and wait for you to get an Uber and just tell your date, like, hey, sorry, she ain't coming back.
Right. Yeah. I'm doing that next time.
But
I'm doing that to you next time.
But additionally, what it does is you have now created your first line of witnesses. You have created your first group of people that know who you are, that know you're there, that know why you're there, and that know your situation. You're on a date that you don't like. This is important for a number of reasons. I mean, obviously, God forbid if something were to actually happen, that's terrible.
And we're not talking about just someone's poor shirt choice.
Right.
Or, you know, just not being generally interesting.
I think crying at the bar and then saying he punched his wife or his girlfriend in the face because she wouldn't let go of his testicles. That story, I feel like that one goes. If you missed that episode, then go back and listen
that
to it.
Yeah,
it
happened.
And you know what? Thanks again for making me feel better about any of my choices that I've made.
I don't know
a
whole lot of people that could do that for her.
You're welcome. I'm good for something.
But that's the most important thing is communicate. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. Even though you're on a date with someone, that doesn't mean that you have to figure it all out on your own. You have options.
Right.
You know, your second option is communicate with other people. You have your cell phone, you have social media.
Right.
I mean, I don't think it's changed, or if you need to be bailed out of a bad date, that you could have your friend call you and make
I did it. Yeah.
That was like,
I did it. And I was like, oh my God, your cat's on fire. I don't know what I said. I forget what it was.
I think you said you locked me. You know what? Next time I need you to get me out of a date, could you actually go to my house and set the cat on fire that I don't like? Because that would be awesome. Just stay with it.
Jody, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You're not supposed to actually do the
emotion. Oh, shit.
It's supposed to be made up.
You have my permission.
Well, okay.
I hate that one cat. Set her on fire. God. I would have been like, sweet, I'm having another drink. Just don't get the drapes.
Just next time. Oh my God, your cat's on fire.
I'm going to use that from now on.
That's one hell of a burning pussy.
Sorry. Which is also not something you want on a date. Excuse me, my pussy's on fire.
That is 100% how I'm getting out of the next date. I'm sorry, I have to go. My pussy's on fire. Not in the good way. I have to leave. No.
Is there ever a good way? There's never a good way.
I don't know.
That's never a good sentence. Poor Emily right now is trying to keep it together so hard.
She's just going to quit. I swear to God.
I'm gonna use your cat, though, for the excuse. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I have to go. Celia's cat's on fire.
Everyone out there from now on, that's just the go-to. I'm sorry, Celia's cat's on fire.
I want to hear.
That's it. Yeah. Celia's cat's on fire.
How many people can use that excuse to get out of bad dates? Yeah. Karen
or
and I.
Or anything. I'm sorry, I can't make it to dinner tonight. My cat's on fire.
No, just Celia's cat's on fire.
There we go.
For the longest time, Karen and I, when we were, you know, when we were dating, had a way to...
When you and Karen were dating?
Yes, when me and Karen were dating. I'm not dating her. She falls asleep.
Like, that's never happened before.
Yeah, exactly. When she and I would go on dates and we decided we didn't like somebody and they wanted to see us again, we would, our go-to line, which we completely stole, was no dice, squirrel man, got plans on waffles.
What?
It's from Michelle. Oh gosh. She did a White House correspondence dinner. And
I know. Yeah.
I'm forgetting her last name and I don't know why, because that's terrible. Wolf, right? Michelle
yes,
Wolf?
Yeah.
Michelle Wolf. She used it at one point in her stand-up. She's like, no dice, squirrel man, got plans on waffles. And I would just say it and guys would be like, what? And I'd be like, you heard me. And just walk out.
That's
plans on waffles.
Just stun them.
But I just followed up with my pussy's on fire.
My pussy's on fire. I think if people could use Celia's cat's on fire, that's real. It's wow. Genius.
I held together so long to keep things on a serious note. I really did, but I
you did, but
I
you
knew
had to
at some
there.
Point no, I was going to have to make a hard
this
left.
This is what happens with us, though, is our conversations always seem to take a turn.
Oh, they take a turn. Right.
Yeah. Well.
So be safe. Celia's cat's on fire.
My cat's on fire.
Don't give out your information on the internet. And most importantly, it doesn't matter if your kids hate you or not.
Right.
You have to, like, sometimes there just has to be hard.
Well, and I think what we learned here is watch their friends also. Yeah. Like, not just watching your own kids' social media, watch their friends' social media, because you might think that you're being super safe with their
doesn't that mean that you have to have a relationship with your kids' friends on social media?
Or you just need a Jeff.
Right.
Everybody needs a Jeff.
It's true. I send a lot of people to Jeff for that exact reason.
But if you ever, I mean, on a spying point, you know, because we all want to know what our kids are up to. If you ever really want to know what your kids are doing, see what their friends are doing.
Right.
Because your kids are doing the same thing their friends are.
Right.
Ugh, yeah. God, I hope not.
I'm just saying. It's almost always true.
Oh, that's true. Great.
Yeah.
Well, most of my daughter's friends are just out there singing, you know, really poor musical theater. So I suppose that I should just
be
happy.
There you go.
That's what she's doing.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Fine.
All right. Well, after this break, we're coming back with some fail mail, some...
craptastic parenting moment, because Jeff has one that I'm going to make him tell, because it was
okay, perfect.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be back after this.
Let's talk about Talkspace.
Let's.
Can we?
We can.
I really like the fact that, you know, Talkspace exists, because we all know that mental health is a big part of self-care.
Oh, absolutely. We talk about that a lot.
We really do. And self-care is so important. And, you know, changing your mental habits is easier said than done.
True.
And it's really hard to find a good therapist and to find the time to do that.
Yeah, the time is the hard thing.
It really is. And luckily, Talkspace online therapy gives you a convenient and affordable way to improve your mental health.
Hmm.
Talkspace pairs you with one of 5,000 licensed therapists based on your needs and your preference. And you can connect with your therapist via text, audio, video message. You can send them pictures and, you know, they'll match you the same day. Your therapist will message you daily, 5 days a week, and there's no office trips or appointments to schedule.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I know. It's really, really interesting to me. And I just love that it's out there for people. Thankfully, Talkspace online therapy makes getting accountability and support convenient and affordable. And that's, you know, what we all really need to be able to stay on track and, you know, get to our goals and help us identify our new ones.
Yeah.
You know? You can message your therapist anywhere from the privacy of your own device, which is really, you know, very convenient. And there's no way that you can't do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, it's affordable. It gives you a month of anytime access for the price of a one in-person therapy session.
Yeah, that's, I mean, therapy can be expensive and this is a great way to get access to it.
Exactly. They are experts. They have specialties that include, you know, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, relationships, food and eating issues, and more. Clinically proven. It's true. In one academic study, Talkspace users reported a 50% drop in anxiety after 3 months, and 80% of participants in another study said Talkspace was as effective or more effective than in-person therapy.
That's fantastic.
I thought so. Well, you know, we all need help navigating life's ups and downs, and Talkspace offers the support that you need at an affordable price. Now, our listeners can get $100 off of their first month by using the code SAYTHIS at Talkspace.com. Again, $100 off of their first month by using the code SAYTHIS at Talkspace.com. You can match with a therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy at Talkspace.com, and you can download the app if you'd like. Make sure to use the code SAYTHIS to get $100 off of your first month. That is Talkspace.com. Promo code SAYTHIS.
Yep, and therapy works, people.
Seriously does.
And we've returned again. Hello.
Hi.
I can't, why can't I do intros and outro? I can't segue for shit.
Okay,
are we doing a fail mail?
Well, yeah, we're doing a couple things. But first of all, so many of you wrote us to tell us what Visco Girl is. And then one of you actually told us what VSCO
means. Oh my
means.
God, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. What the hell does it mean?
Well, but now I can't find it, of course. But I kind of remember. First of all, the V was for Vans and the S is sneakers. And then the C was something else in the O, and then they also kept showing us the photo app for Visco. Which we were like, I was like, yeah, we know it, but it
Vans,
actually
sneakers,
some, and then it was something
cats
else
on.
I have no
fire.
Idea, but yes. It, and of course I can't find
the
that.
The F is silent. Yeah, Vans sneakers, cats on
fire
in parentheses.
I like it.
I'm in it. I'm like, that's good. And then we had a couple of Australians write us to tell us that, A, our accents were horrible.
Did we do Australian accents?
You did it, and then I did it. You said she didn't say, I'm not going to do it, but g'day in your accent. And then I said, g'day, bitches, at one point.
We did.
I did it.
Do we do these shows when I'm in like having an out-of-body experience? Because I'm like, when did we do that?
Yes, we did it.
Wow.
And they said, we next time have to understand that, first of all, Australians don't really say that. But when
That's
they do,
lie,
they're talking to their mates, and you have to say, good eye, mate.
Good eye, mate.
Good eye, mate.
Good eye, mate. Good eye, mate.
Yeah, so that's how it's written out
it.
To us.
Look at, see, good Australia, eye, there you go. I'm official
right.
now.
So they have given us some.
But wait, I think the most important thing in there was that they were talking to their mates, which means they're friends, which means we are not those. So stop talking like that.
That pretty much
okay.
was what they were telling us. Yeah.
So we're not.
Yes.
We're
although
not
Kim,
friends.
Who we read from Australia, we read hers and she wrote and literally started it with, g'day bitches. Cause I said it. And I was like, oh my God. She's like, I'm still listening. It's okay.
Okay. So I'm sorry, all of Australia.
Yeah. Sorry. We apologize.
Right.
Now this is from, looks like Maggie, and she's a Gen Z listener, and I rarely read these, but I just wanted
Gen Z. I was like, who's Gen Z? Got it.
So I just wanted to read you her little note because this is more for our daughters than for us.
Oh, okay.
For I want them to hear it. She says
they're not listening.
Mine sometimes does.
I don't know if mine
does. I pick and choose. It says, thank you so much for your podcast. It's literally like the most amazing thing ever. You guys are the one thing that keeps me awake at night as I'm doing my homework. So thank you. I also find your stories really funny because your kids say some things that I'd never say to my mom, primarily because
they're not
I'm
supposed
an
to.
Introvert. And secondly, because she doesn't understand this generation like at all. You guys think you're out of the loop because you don't know what a Visco girl is. My mom doesn't understand how Google Drive works. So she handed me a USB stick last night to use for my English essay. Thank you so much for keeping me laughing even on hard days.
Aww.
Your Gen Z listener, Maggie.
Yay!
I
just wanted to let our kids know we're not as out of it That's probably not a good way to say that.
We're hipper than you thought.
Right. As we got out of your car with 50,000 bags at Jody's party the other day.
We were bag ladies.
And then my dress moved and my boob popped out.
I heard.
My dress split. It was
and
a whole thing.
And then her dress split.
I saw that.
Yep. Anyhow, that was from, I'm not going to do a fail mail. I just thought we would do that.
Oh, I love that. But, you know, it's nice to know, though, that we do have some Gen Z listeners. Yeah, so maybe they will get something out of the, you know, fuck politeness.
Right. That's
nice
what I'm calling
the internet.
Yep.
The internet is a terrible place, the source of all bad
horrible.
Things.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
I'm going to
as I scroll on it for 4 hours.
Me too, every
night.
Day. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Jeff has a craptastic parenting moment that I remember when you came over and told us, and I just thought it was really hilarious.
I do. Yeah, this is the poopocalypse story, right?
Well, there, that one and the garage was two of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I'll start with poopocalypse.
Okay.
So it was the first time really that for any extended amount of time that I got left home with, at the time, our 2-year-old.
Right.
So I'm downstairs. 2-year-old should be upstairs napping.
Nah.
And my wife was
your
out.
First mistake.
I forgot what she was doing. I know. So all of a sudden I hear a series of thuds.
It's never good. Right.
And I hear little footsteps, and then really audibly I hear, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
No.
So I'm assuming that, okay, she's right. gone in her diaper and everything's, right. you know, it'll be fine. So I start going up the stairs, and I can hear her pulling on the gate at the top of the stairs, back right. and forth. And she goes, "Daddy, uh-oh." And I'm like, "Ah, it's okay. Hold on. I'll get up there in a minute. I'll, you know." So I round the corner on the landing at the stairs.
Right.
I see my daughter at the top of the staircase. She's got no shirt on.
Oh, my God.
Which is right. impressive. She also has no diaper on, which is concerning. She's got her right arm straight up in the air, and her entire right side and back of her body is covered in poo.
Oh.
Like caked.
Oh.
And she
like
is
she just took
at me,
a slip and slide right
oh,
there.
Yeah.
yeah.
I look at her and I'm like, what did you do?
How did you do it? Right?
What happened? And she just looks at me and she goes, uh-oh. So I open the gate and I grab her under her armpit of her left arm. It's the right. only poo-free zone
right.
on her body at this point. And I lift her up into the air by her armpit and I carry her into the bathtub. I don't turn it on yet, but I'm like, stay there.
Right.
Don't move. I turn around to look at the hallway and there are perfectly shaped poopy little footprints all the way from her room out to the staircase.
Oh.
Oh, God.
So there's an origin. So I'm in, and now she's laughing.
Right.
She's right. laughing at me. She's right. still got her arm in the air.
Right.
And
why is her arm in the air?
She doesn't want to touch
the
poop.
She just
poop
all over.
She didn't like the poo that was
right.
under
okay,
her
got
arm.
It.
Yeah.
Well, no one wants that in their armpit.
Right,
no.
Yeah.
Right.
So I turn the corner from the bathroom to take a look in her bedroom.
Oh,
here's what I could figure out, best as I could tell.
As a security expert.
Right.
Yes, yeah. With years of experience of people pooping on the floor. She decided it would be best to take her diaper off and then squat, holding the railing of her bed, standing on her mattress, but with her butt hanging over the bed onto right? the floor. And to poop there. What she hadn't quite figured out then was how she was going to recover from that position.
Right.
Because she was kind of committed.
Oh, right. Know? Yeah.
So then she let go.
Oh,
so she had done her
no.
business all
boy,
over
did
floor,
she.
And boy, did
she.
Boy, did she
let go.
She splattered into that pile.
Oh.
With enough force to spray poo all over the mirror. And
you did a really good job Home Alone watching the kid.
Oh, God. So I didn't even know where to start.
Right. Yeah. At that point, it's again,
so,
burn it down.
So I'm like, okay, we have to move.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But that's actually one of my never thought I'd say this was I never thought I'd say that my gun cleaning tools could be used to clean poop out of the grout between the wood. Because for the next 2.5 hours, that's exactly what
oh,
I did.
Oh, my God.
And then I hosed her off in the bathtub best I could. I wanted to take her outside. I even texted my wife and she said that I couldn't take my 2-year-old outside and hose her off with the dog.
I would have.
So, right? Yeah. Sometimes you just got to do it.
So I hosed her off in the shower. It was like prison style. I made her put her hands up on the wall.
And just let me and just
and I just
shower
put it
you.
On full blast and I was hosing her down.
Right.
And yeah, it took about probably 3.5 hours to clean it.
And the smell and just the
And I still thought I had to light the house on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may as well have.
Yeah.
I would have.
No amount of Lysol is getting that out.
No.
Oh God.
And then the second story, the garage story. Yeah. Same kid.
Right.
Same kid. Had an affinity for funny stories, I guess. We get home. I forget where we were, but we got home. I got her out of the car seat.
Right.
You know, she's trying to go inside. That's it. You know, trying to get a 2-year-old to go from the car to the house.
Oh, God. Right. 15 feet of, it might as well be the Sahara Desert.
And she is just throwing a fit about something. I couldn't even tell you. She's throwing a fit. She won't come inside the house. Then finally she kind of tiptoes inside the house. She's still screaming, crying, throwing stuff, just being a monster.
Right.
You know, like a kid.
Like, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So finally, like I'd had enough. I couldn't, she wouldn't calm down. Anything she wanted, you know, it just wasn't good enough.
Right.
I picked her up and I sat her down in the garage because she was freaking everybody out in the house.
Right.
I sit her down in the garage and I'm like, and she's still going ballistic.
Right.
And I'm like, listen, you got to calm your shit.
You know? Right.
You know, like when you're almost like trying to negotiate.
Right.
It's,
like,
it's worthless, right, but you try.
I've tried yelling. I've tried. Mm-hmm. I have to reason.
I sit her down in the garage and I'm like, just sit here. We have one of those garage doors. You can prop the door open.
Right,
it's like
right.
I can still see her. Child Protective Services.
Right.
So she, 5 seconds after I walk back in the house, she comes waddling in, throwing stuff. And she's still screaming and crying or whatever. So I'm like, you know what? There's only one seat in this house that has straps and restraints on it. I put her in my wife's car.
Right.
In the car seat. So she could, because I'm like, where else am I going to put her? She's just going to wander around. So I opened the door to my wife's car, put her in the car seat, strapped her in, and I left. I went inside. And I could hear her. She was crying.
Right.
And then the cries, you know, kind of turned into, and I was standing right there. I mean, she just couldn't see me. And then it's like 2 minutes. All of a sudden, she's like, Daddy.
I'm done now.
Daddy. And I came back into the garage and I was like, yes. And she's like, I want to go inside now. Said, oh, okay. That was it.
That's it.
That's all we need. I just need every single chair in my house now to come with restraints.
Oh, that doesn't always work. My sister used to put the kids like the, you know, those like little things you attach, like booster seats you attach to your chairs. When my nieces were like old enough that they didn't always have to be on the chairs.
Right.
She had put one in the corner. And one day, I believe it was Isabel was being a total asshole. My sister, you know, put her in the corner, strapped her into the thing like on the floor.
Right. Turned
around.
You can get up and walk with those.
That's what she did. And she was strapped in and she's walking around with it just stuck to her butt. Turtle. Like, yeah. And my sister would turn around and she'd sit back down in it. She's like,
that's pretty ingenious.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, do you have a craptastic or a grievance or anything?
Oh, man. Oh, I feel like I had an airing of grievance. I don't know. You know what? I don't think I do. Not a good one for this week. We'll save it for the next episode.
I have ones for the next episode also. So
yeah. So tune in next week.
Yeah. For more airing
of grievances. But in the meantime, if you want to follow us on social media, the source of all evil, please find us on Instagram. Where we will not be tagging our location. Although we do tag locations, but it's like stupid place.
I pick locations that are like in China.
That don't exist.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed? Have you ever looked at us? Yeah, Jeff will find us there, but
you know where I am anyway.
That's
I'm
true.
Sitting
at people
home
have
on my couch.
Written before when I've tagged us in like random places just because I think the name is funny.
Right?
I've been like, why are you guys in Hungary?
You're like, no, we're literally hungry.
We're not. Yes,
we're actually starving right now. That's that has not the country.
How do we stuff our face holes?
Right.
That's right.
But yeah, so find us on Instagram.
Do you want to try it?
Never thought I'd say this.
That is right.
Yay! Oh, we're almost to the end of the
Facebook.
Season. I finally figured it out. And on Facebook and Instagram at Never Thought I'd Say This.
Yep.
Our email is
neverthoughtid@protonmail.com.
Yes.
And our Twitter, believe it or not, we've just given up, and it is @INeverThoughtI'd.
Yeah.
And people have been finding us there. We never tweet.
We don't tweet much because when we do, we randomly connect to someone who has your old Twitter handle, and then they get tagged, and it's some poor like 14-year-old boy. It's
wait, a 14-year-old boy named Celia Behar?
No, I used to have the R star, and but Twitter bumped me off of that, so now I'm just the
Celia
Behar.
She can't get her, but it's at the Celia Behar, but they won't change it back, so somebody still has the R. It's a very complicated thing.
So when she tags me for some reason, it switches to the R star and tags the 14-year-old.
Basically, occasionally when I tag her in my Instagram post and connect it to Twitter, I'm also tagging some poor 14-year-old boy.
Yeah. Well, good.
So or maybe he's just hanging out with us. Who knows?
Well, maybe he'll learn the dangers of social media.
That's what you're doing, the dangers of social media.
Yeah, we're showing him. You've got two...
He needs to be careful.
Talking moms.
Right, apparently. We're going to show up at his front door.
And curse at you.
So anyway, email us, find us on Instagram, keep listening, and remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.